During the 60s, gun manufacturing took drastic moves forward. One of the most outstanding guns that was produced at that time was the shotgun, which is known as the Damascus Barrel. This barrel was constructed by fusing wire, wrapping the wire around a rod, a steel rod, and fusing it as they went. It was all hand fused. And when it was completed, they would pull the bar out, which gave them a good, already rifled barrel. This particular gun is a muzzle-loading shotgun. It was brought to Utah by William Carson. It was given to me by James Carson of Fairfield, who is now in Lehigh. Number 14 is a metal powder flask. It was the type used in California during the 90s, the 40s. And it was given to me by a friend from California whose father had used the powder flask in the early days of California. Number 17 and 18 was given to me by Mrs. John Jacobs, who is the property of her father and her grandfather. They're covered with leather. One of them was used in the Revolutionary War, and number 17 was used in the Civil War. Number 20, 21, and 22 are powder horns used by the early pioneers of Lehigh. They're made from cow horns. Number 42 is a collection of bullets and buttons that the family has picked up on the old firing range where the Johnson's Army had their rifle meets, and also their practice, target practice. The bullets are 45-70s and 45-90s. It is thought that the mini ball, which these represent, was invented right with Camp Floyd. In the rifle feet, there was one man that did the winning at all times. And they were timed from the time they started to load their gun, and then that amounted to 50% of the, and the accuracy was the other 50%. This man was always the victor, and after a while it was found out why he won. It wasn't altogether his good shooting, but it was the brain work that he used. The bullets had to have a patch, a cloth patch put over them to tighten the bullet in the barrel so the strength of the explosion wouldn't go out beyond the bullet. So he found out that by cutting out the center of the slug, the expansion of the explosion would tighten the slug in the barrel and make a very accurate shot. By doing this, he would win all of their contests. Afterwards, that was introduced into the Union Army, and during the Civil War, it was the type of bullet that was used quite extensively by the Federal Army. The buttons were used by the soldiers. You'll notice they're made of lead. They were a long ways from St. Louis, and when they lost a button, in order to be avoid being reprimanded by from going slouchy, they would cut off at the end of one of their slugs and make a button. So you'll see that most of the private soldiers' buttons were made from the ends of their bullets. The long bars at the bottom of the case were known as tethering pins. They were used by the artillery to tie the ropes through the rings and to the horse's neck. This would prevent the horses from running away. Number 32 is a lock from the powder magazine of the army. Number 33 is a bullet mold used for making the slugs for the Colt, which was used quite extensively by the soldiers at sidearm. Number 34 is the end of an old sword scabbard that was dug up right there in the camp where the barracks were. Number 46 and 47 are keys. 46 was the key to General Johnson's headquarters, and 47 was the key to the old overland station at Camp Floyd. These articles were given to me by the widow of Jacob McKinney, who was one of the soldiers who remained at Camp Floyd. He collected lots of the old relics that after the army had left, and he gave these to me at that time. Number 30, I picked up on the old artillery range. For a long time, I was unable to identify it, but finally, the help of my son-in-law, Mr. Merrill, I found out that it was a reaming piece to ream out the touch hole of the cannon. They would corrode, being muzzle loaders, they would corrode after about three shots, and they had to be re-reamed in order to fire the cannon. Then 48 is used more or less as a hobble for a mule. It fit over the ankle of the mule and was locked there. And if the mule attempted to run when he was being caught, it would bounce up and down on his leg, and he would soon be carrying his leg. 49 and 50 are wad cutters. These were used in reloading the paper shell. And they were also used to put patches over the bullets when they were shot in the rifle. Number 39 is the pipe, tobacco, and pocket knife belonging to one Joe Moody, who was a Confederate soldier and was afterwards the step-grandfather to my wife. Number 43 is two homemade Pioneer pumps. They're just homemade in every respect. They're not even welded together. But 35 and 36, respectively, are from Indian graves, which were dug up just north of Lehigh. Number 35, there was an Indian saddle in connection with the gun. This completes cabinet number one. Now we'll go over to cabinet number two. And number one in this cabinet was donated to me by Ralph Smith of Lehigh, formerly of Camp Floyd. They were used by the soldiers as leg irons. They were locked over their ankles. A long chain was attached to the ring and a ball to the chain. So when they were staked out, they didn't get very far. Number two is a part of a mule harness used in the cavalry. Number three is the old Pioneer brand for branding horses. Number four is another type of brand. When the pioneers first came here, the buffaloes were getting scarce and leather was even more scarce. And to preserve the hide from being destroyed by a brand, they did the branding on the horn of the animal, of the cow, or a steer. Number nine. And for the hoof of horses, most of the branding was done on the hoofs of the horses in those days. Number five is a mule shoe, which was dug in a field near Camp Floyd. Number six, seven, and eight is miners' candlesticks that were used prior to 1908. Number 10 is a set of bells used in the early days of Death Valley. They were attached to the hames of the lead mule of the 20 mule teams. And as they went up through the dugways, empties coming down would hear the chiming and give them the rope. Number 11 is a little ornament made of pewter. It was given to me by Mrs. May Lott. Number 12 is also a plate made of pewter, which was quite commonly used in the early pioneer days of Utah. Oh. Number 13 are two bullet molds, very likely used by Johnson's army. They've been dug out of the fields near Camp Floyd by James Carson. Number 14 is a little prospecting pig that was used by James E. Talmage. It was made for him by one of the blacksmiths at the Eureka, Utah. He carried that all through his exploits in the Ural Mountains over a period of 5 years. It was given to me by his son-in-law, Hal Brandley. Number 15 is a walking stick made of horsehair. It was given, made for and given to George Kirkham in the Utah State Penitentiary. The donor was a convict, a Negro convict at the Utah State Penitentiary, who Kirkham had befriended, and he made the walking stick for him. The cane below is one belonging to W.L. Hutchings. Number 16 was a knife which belonged to Thomas Ashton, was used in the defense of Nauvoo just prior to the exodus. He was the chief of police of Nauvoo, and the company of police at that time were called the Whittlers and Whistlers. They got that name from the fact that they patrolled the streets of Nauvoo and weren't supposed to talk to anyone but to whittle with those large knives on a stick and whistle. Number 17 is the handcuffs used by Porter Rockwell. They were made for Porter Rockwell by the presiding elder of Cedar Fort, who was a blacksmith. They were given to him to bring in William Hickman. Porter brought in the one man alive, and that was William Hickman. Number 18 are sheep bells picked up on the Great Salt Lake Desert, where sheep usually winter on the desert. Number 19 is a rattan carpet beater used in the olden days to beat carpet. They would hang them on the line, and then the children could get all the exercise they wanted pounding the carpet to knock the dirt out of it. 20 is a beer bottle stopper. It also has an opener on one end for removing the cap when the caps were first put on beer bottles. And then if they didn't drink at all, they could put the cork in. Number 21 is nails. This little group of nails were picked up from the original, when they dismantled the original courthouse of Lehigh. There's different sizes there. All the wood was put together with those square nails. Even the shingles were put on with those tiny little square nails. Number 22 is a school bell. It was used in a mission school that was commenced here in Lehi along in the early 90s. It was called the New West School. It was located on Main Street and the corner of Main and First West. This school filled a great need for the people of Lehi, there being a lot of people that weren't LDS and didn't want their children to mingle in school with the Mormon children. So they went to the mission school instead of the public school. Number 23 are candlesticks, the type used just after the turn of the century until the carbide lights were introduced. They were, the candle was stuck in there, and the hook and spike was to be hooked or spiked into the timbers so the miners could see what they were doing. Number 24 is a pestle and mortar, which was the property of Lehi's first acting doctor. This man had been a sea captain and understood a great deal about medicine, and he brought a load of emigrants from Liverpool to Boston and was converted on the way over, and he turned the ship over to the first mate and came west with the pioneers and acted as the doctor in Lehi for a good many years. He made his own medicines, and the pills were called homeopathic pills. And they were very effective, especially for physicking. This man's name was Hart. He was called Camp Hart because of his having been a sea captain. Number 25 is a little oil lamp used by miners prior to the candlestick. This was filled with the lard oil and was worn on the peak of their camp to give them light. Number 26 is a spectacle case and glasses used by my mother, Mary Wanless Hutchings. Number 27 is a gridiron used for cooking pancakes. This was given to me by the Lott family and was brought by them to Utah in 1870. Number 28 was a regulation beet hole. In 91, when the sugar beet industry was first commenced in Utah, they specified in their contract that the beet had to be thinned 3 inches apart. For that reason, the holes were made 3 inches wide. The reason of this was to reduce the weight or the size of the beet. Any beet over 3.5 pounds was rejected. This was because the machinery in the factory was too small or too light to handle a large beet. Number 30 is a picture of the old New West Mission School spoken of before. 31 is a from Merker, Utah. After the fire in Merker in the 90s, this was found where the old assay office had been. It was used for heating the test tubes in their assaying. Number 32 is a comb made from a buffalo horn. Number 33 is oxen shoes, which had been picked up in and around Lehi, or used by the early pioneers. Number 34 is a brass shotgun shell, which are not used anymore. Number 35 is a tack hammer that was in our home all as long as I could remember. So it must have been brought here by the early pioneers. 36 was cloth gloves, When my father was a young man in England, he sang in the choir, the Church of England, and these gloves were part of the uniform. 37 and 38 are flowers made from human hair. The flowers were made by my mother, and the hair was cut from the head of each of her family, with the exception of me. And I guess I was born bald-headed. The picture right next to the hair flowers is my picture, which proves the fact that I was bald-headed. Number 48 was my rattle. I have kept that. If children had one like that now, I'm afraid they would be quite as dangerous, but I was perfectly docile. It was made for me in the Salt Lake Penitentiary during the days of the polygamy by my father. Number 39 is a bar of lead. These were bartered for by the pioneers and got from the soldiers of Johnson's army. They would trade eggs for lead and other things that the soldiers had to trade. Number 40 is a tobacco can. They were quite essential in those pioneer days. After the can was emptied, they were used as lunch baskets for the children to go to school. That was the one here was mine. Number 41 and 43 are pop bottles. These pop bottles were invented by a Provost man by the name of Denhalter. You'll notice they have a valve in the top with a rubber gasket on it. The contents were put in there, and when they wanted to drink them, you would push the valve down in. This didn't only give you a drink, but a face wash, especially if the bottle was warm. Number 42 is my mother's shopping basket. She used to go take that to the store and get her little knickknacks. 45 is a bead collar, which was brought by my mother from Missouri, and was used as a collar on her daughter, May, or Mary Isabel, who died when she was small. It was brought to Utah in 1863. Number 46 is a bead purse. This was carried in the woman's hand, usually. It is, in olden times, the purses were made from sow's ear. That's where we get the saying, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. But they attempted to do it and made them in the shape of the sow's ear, and that has continued on until now. Number 49 is also a purse. This was brought by my mother from England. The decorations on that, the beads, are gold, pure gold. Number 51, a father's diary. It has a day-by-day record of every day from the time he joined the church until after he had got to Utah. Number 50 is a pewter plate from the first home of Washburn Shipman. In about 1920, the old farm of the Chipmans was replowed. It located down on the lake shore, just south of American Fork. And in plowing the ground, they plowed up the old dugout that was owned by Washburn Chipman. and several articles, including this pewter plate, was uncovered. 52 is a drape or curtain holder used in to hold the curtains away from the windows. Number 53 is the old-time milk of magnesia bottle. Number 54 is a table wine cask. It was used to serve wine in special occasions. Number 55 was scales. They were brought from England. Number 56 was a night lamp belonging to my mother, Mary Wanless Hutchings. Number 57 was a beer stein from Germany. Number 58 was a yard rule, which was given in 1900 by the People's Co-op of Lehigh as complimentary. 59 is a pint demijohn. Before the days of Prohibition, they used to get their liquor in those small demijohns, providing they didn't want too much. Number 60 is an egg basket used by Mrs. Hutchings. And number 61 is my first carbide miner's lamp. That was in 1908 that came into existence. Number 62 was a Father's Day gift to me. This was the first Father's Day, was given to me by Mr. Hutchings in 1920. Number 63 is a match holder, belonged to W.L. Hutchings. It was made by him in 1889. Number 64, the school book, which was the only book on mathematics that was used by my father in England. He was educated in the home of Lord Bridgeport, and that was one of their textbooks. Number 65 is a picture of Lehigh about the turn of the century. It's Main Street and also looking up First West. Now commencing with number one in case three. Number one is a lemon squeezer that was used in Merker before the fire. After the fire, this was recovered, and most of the kitchen implements at that time was made of cast iron. This number two is a little gadget that was sold from house to house in the 90s. At that time, it seems that there was more street peddlers than ever before in the history of the country. Everyone had a little gadget to sell, and this particular one was designed in the first place to lift hot plates from the fireplace. The end of it is a little tack hammer. Between the handles is a nutcracker, and one point of the handle is the can opener, while the other is the screwdriver. So all you needed is two or three things to keep house. Number three is a coal oil lamp. This lamp was brought to Utah in 63. Mother, it wasn't used till a great deal later because of the lack of coal oil. So candles had to be used. Number four is a matchbox that they used to hang over the fireplace. Number five is a grater. This was for grating potatoes, usually, for that they put in yeast when they were making yeast. Number six is a coffee grinder brought to here at the same time. Number seven is a cast iron cookie pan. Number eight is a hat mold used for making straw hats. Mother and sister Jacobs, Harriet Jacobs, were the first milliners in Utah. They made their hats over this mold. Number nine is the tallow candles, used the type used by the early pioneers. Number 10 is a fluting iron of a later period. This was brought to Utah in 1870. It was used for doing the pleating in collars and in cuffs. Number 11 is a pepper mill. They would put the pepper in this and turn the handle and make the ground pepper. Number 12 and 20 are tea caddies from China. The tea used to come from China in these little bamboo boxes, which were lined with lead to keep the tea fresh. Number 13 is another type of fluting iron. This was used in the early 40s up to the 70s. This also was used in putting the ruffles around the collars and cuffs of ladies' clothes. Number 14 is a beer mug. This was used in Lehi's first saloon. And number 15 is a horn cup. This particular cup belonged to the Knights of the Round Tables in the day of Arthur. This came down through my mother's line from the first Scottish chief. It's been handed down through the John Strongarm, which was reversed to Armstrong in the 6th century, and through the Russells, the Bells, and the Wanlesses, and into my mother's direct line. It was used as an ale cup for the Knights of the Round Table. 16 is a tobacco cutter used for cutting plug tobacco. This was given to me by the Bingham Mercantile, when the buildings at Bingham were just taken away for the pit to be made. For some reason or other, they sent me the tobacco cutter. Number 17 and 18 were candle molds used by my mother. Number 19 is a vaporizer. This was used in the bedroom where children had croup. The creosote would be put in the little pan above and the lamp lighted, and the fumes was supposed to cure croup. Number 21 and 22 are nursing bottles. These were used on the high bedsteads. A little shelf was at the top, and a long hose ran from the bottle down to the baby. Over the nipple, there was a bone disc to keep the child from swallowing the nipple. This was a very fine automatic feed. 24 was a lantern used by the train crews of the first railroad in Utah. This particular one belonged to my brother Will, who became the station agent and the telegrapher at Lehi Junction. Number 23 is a cast iron boot jack, belonging to my father. Number 25 is a wooden rolling pin used by my mother. Number 26 is a beer mug from the Overland Stage Station at Faust. It's extra large. That was because they had a lot of desert to cross between Salt Lake and San Francisco. Number 27 is a spatula. This particular one was used to stir the grease when it had been cut up from the pigs, and they're melting the lard out of it. They would keep it stirred with that spatula. And number 28 is a stocking darner. The women couldn't go to the store and buy new stockings, so they had to darn the holes in the heels and toes with a darning needle after inserting this wooden darner. 29 is scales. These are scales that were brought from England by one of the pioneers of Lehigh. Number 30 is a jewelry box that was bought at the 1905 World's Fair at St. Louis. This was bought from a little booth that the Blackfeet Indians of Idaho had. Number 32 is a mincer. This was used to cut vegetables up for salad. Number 33 is a potato grater. Number 34 was a meat chopper. This was used almost exclusively for chopping suet and fats for rendering out the grease. Number 35 is a bee smoker. This was used while taking honey from the bees. They would put a rag inside of the cylinder and light it, and then blow the smoke into the hive, which would stupefy the bees and prevent being stung. Number 36 is a potato cutter. In the time these were used, the product was called shoestring potatoes. But after First World War, they became French fries. Number 37 is a water spigot. This was used on the water barrel when they were crossing the plains. It was hung on the side of the wagon. Number 38 is a cast iron donut mold. These were heated, the dough put in one side and the lid covered over, and in a few minutes you had a good donut. 39 is a pepper box and salt shaker. Number 41 is another stocking darner. This was used for smaller stockings for children. Number 42 is a wooden lemon squeezer. 43 is a butter paddle. Number 44, 45, 46, and 47 are butter molds. 45 is a potato masher. Number 48 is a nutmeg grater. Number 49 is a vegetable strainer used to lift the vegetables out of boiling water. Number 50 is a cream skimmer. They used to put the milk in pans and let the cream rise overnight and then skim the cream off of the milk to make butter. Number 51 is a match holder. This is from the old People's Co-op store. Number 52 and 53 are wool cords used by my mother in cording wool preparatory for spinning. Number 54 is a combination gadget, another one of the turn of the century gadgets that was everything combined. I won't tell you what it is because I don't know. Number 55 is another collapsible gadget. This was used when opened up to hold eggs on the table. If it was made into a ball, the ball of yarn was put on the inside of it and used in knitting stockings. It could also be flattened down to hold hot plates or to use on the ironing board to put the hot flat iron on. This 56 is a wheat sickle. Prior to the binding the wheat, when they cut it, they cut it by hand with a sickle and lay it in little piles, and the women would come along and bundle it into bundles. Number 57 and 58 were scales. Number 57 is a gold scale from the days of 49, and number 58 is an assayer scale used for assaying in minerals in the assay office. 61 and 62. 61 a basket and 62 a handbag. They were both used as just for utility purposes. Number 64 is the sugar scoop made from the coconut shell. And 65 is a vegetable mincer, and that's all. Yeah. The stove under this particular case is the first stove made in the United States west of the Mississippi River. It was made by John Devy and an associate who commenced the foundry at Provo, Utah. This stove was made in 1889. It was taken to the World's Fair in Chicago and received the gold medal for making the first stove in the western part of the United States. Now going to the display on the pegboard. Number 1 and 2 are spice cans from the old People's Co-op store. The People's Co-op store was an offshoot from the Union Exchange, which was in the lower part of town. It was the first cooperative store in the United States. The idea of the cooperative mercantile business was brought from England by Israel Evans, and they tried it out down there and was so successful that in a very short time, Brigham Young, having noticed the success of the undertaking, commenced the ZCMI in Salt Lake, which was to act as a wholesale house for all of the people cooperative stores in the territory. Might say that this type of store became very popular in Utah after the first experience in Lehigh. Number 3 and 4 are display cases from that particular exchange. It was also known as the William Wanless store, he being their cashier and also ran the cooperative store. Number 5 is the slates used in school. In the early days of Utah, there was very little paper to be had, and the students had to use the slates. They weren't always used for study purposes. The Stillards, number 6, is a small hand scale used in almost every home. Things were weighed and sold or exchanged one from the other because the lack of money is the medium of exchange. Number 7 is a chopper. This particular type of chopper was used principally for cutting fat from the hogs and also from the tallow from sheep. by cutting it up into small pieces, the rendering was made more easy and also faster. Number 8 is a salt box. These were common in almost every pioneer home. It hung over the kitchen stove where the cook could use salt at her discretion. Number 9 is a scale used in the meat department of the People's Co-op in 1869, where William L. Hutchings and Edwin Standring were the proprietors. This was the first butcher shop in Lehigh. 10 and 11 are wood augers. This type of auger was used in the construction of homes and bridges or whatnot, any place where they need to bring beams together. They would drill holes in the ends of them and pin them together with wooden pins. That's because of the scarcity of iron and nails and bolts as we have today. Number 12 is a sign. The holder is the was hung over the basement of the saloon, which was